is the Most Blessed Podcast, recorded live at Most Blessed Sacrament in Arlington, Texas. Hello, Monsignor.
Hello, Lisa.
How are you today?
I am wonderful. Hello, everyone out there.
Well, today we are going to talk about the Communion of Saints. And I found a lovely paragraph that I'd like to read, if that's okay.
Please do.
This is actually from the U.S. Catholic, from their website. Mm-hmm. And the question is, what is the Communion of Saints? And this is the very first paragraph. Borrowing from the letter to the Hebrews and from theologian and sister of St. Joseph Elizabeth Johnson, we can imagine the Communion of Saints as a giant stadium of people, all of whom have run or are running a great race. As each of us takes our turn at the starting line, we are lifted up by love and encouragement of all those who know well the challenges ahead of us and who have stayed to accompany us and cheer us on. It is a matter of being inspired by the whole lot of them, this cloud of witnesses to the living God. Writes Johnson, quoting Hebrews, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us." And that was Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. I think that's a lovely description of it.
It is. It's a wonderful image of, well, as I start talking about this, there are three parts to the Communion of Saints. There is what we call the Church Triumphant, which are the saints in heaven. There is the Church Suffering, which are the souls in purgatory. And there is the Church Militant, which is all of us here on earth. But Lisa had that wonderful image of running a race, and it's like each of those three parts is at a different part of the race. The Church Triumphant has crossed over the goal line. They have won the race. They're victorious. They're in heaven. The souls in purgatory, the Church Suffering, they're getting close to the goal line, but they're not there yet. And they're having to put in a lot of extra work to get to that goal line.
Some hurdles, as it were.
Some hurdles. They're being purified of whatever effect of sin that's with them. And so they're getting close, but they're not there yet. And the Church Militant, all of us, are just starting out. We're at the beginning of the race. Now, we can see the goal line way down there. And we do that through the Church, through Scripture, through the sacraments. We're always focused on that final goal line down there. And so we're revving up. We're just starting out. We're having to do a lot of exercise to get ourselves spiritually in shape. We go to confession, we're baptized, we go to confession and receive communion. We pray, this is all part of running this race. But all three of these parts are connected. They're not separated. And they're connected. The first two are definitely saved. Of course, the saints in heaven and the souls in purgatory are saved, even though they're not in heaven yet. We're also part of it because out of the grace of our baptism, even when we sin, we go to confession and we start over again. We're at the part of the race where if we fall down, we get up again. Okay, I'm going to get up. I'm going to start running again. And we're in the process of becoming a saint. We're in the process of becoming a saint. The souls in purgatory are almost saints. And then, of course, the Church in heaven are definitely saints. So we're all connected in this goal of becoming a saint. And we all pray for each other. The Church Militant, we pray for the souls in purgatory, that they will be released of that soon, that purgation period, and be with God. And our prayers and our masses are offered for them. The church triumphant in heaven, they are praying for the souls in purgatory and for all of us here on earth. They're especially praying for us. They're cheering us on, you know. Mm-hmm. If we can do it, you can do it. Come on. Don't give up.
I love that imagery.
Yes. And so the communion of saints is this awesome family of holy people who are experiencing the grace of God in different ways. We, the church militant, experience the grace of God almost like a baby being born into the world. You know, when a baby is first born, the first thing that they start crying. It's a sign of life that the child, but they let out this cry. They've come out of the comfort of the womb, and now they're out here in this world. And so there's a little cry that comes out like, oh my, where am I? What's happening to me? And it's like that in the spiritual life. We're like a little baby just starting out in life, just learning to walk, just learning to eat, and spiritually speaking, we're learning all of this. And it's not always comfortable, you know. Little babies fall down and they'll start crying because they felt they weren't able to walk. And we're like that in the spiritual life, but we have all of these wonderful people praying for us. It's one of the great doctrines of the Catholic faith. And no other denomination focuses on the communion of saints, certainly the way that we do. The Protestants don't, to my knowledge, don't teach this at all. The Episcopalians do, I believe. The Lutherans may have some perception of this, but the Catholic Church is fully immersed into this teaching that we are part of the communion of saints. So if you want to call it another way of describing it, it's the family of God. We're one big family of God. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the family is still out there trying to find their way back home. Some are almost there. They see the light in the house. It's dark outside, and they see the light. Oh, there it is. Okay. If I walk that direction, I'll be there. Mm-hmm. And, of course, in the house is all those that have been saved and are at home. So there's all kinds of images that you can use for the communion of saints. But it's so important to remember that we're not in this journey by ourselves. We have a wonderful family that's praying for us. Mm-hmm. And they're always praying for us. It's one of God's great gifts.
And that's how we are also able to talk to the saints that we talk to. Talk to St. Anthony, right, or I'll talk to St. Jude, mm-hmm, or those are two of my favorites because I'm always losing, mm-hmm, things. So,
right.
And that's what gives us that, courage is not quite the right word, but confidence that they, mm-hmm, are there also to help us. And it's just a lovely, lovely thing that we Catholics share with this, you know, these saints are a great thing that we share. That's what
I'm
trying
to say. And
I think
also when we know and believe that these saints are praying for us, it helps us to persevere. Mm-hmm. It prevents us from giving up because we can just stop and think for a moment, oh, I have these wonderful saints praying for me. You know, I don't want to disappoint them.
Right. Well, and if you look at their stories, if you read the stories of the saints, which I teach the RCIA class, and I spent the summer looking for saints for each week because they, mm-hmm, need to pick a saint for their confirmation. And so I didn't even know about a lot of these saints. And so it's very comforting to read about these saints and know that these saints have gone before us. And some of the things that happened to these saints, their lives were not easy by any stretch. Mm. And if they can do it, so can we.
Right.
And if
right.
they're cheering us on, wow.
Yeah. So. And they are. There's mm-hmm, no mm-hmm. doubt that they are.
Yes.
So, you know, if we have that moment we want to give up in our faith journey and just say, oh, it's just too hard. Why do I go to Mass? Why do I pray? Nothing seems to be changing. You know, we all get in that mentality sometimes. But just step back and remember these saints, that they also had a hard journey. Some of them had a terrible journey in becoming a saint. But one of the great gifts they had is that they never gave up. They would fall down and get up, which is the definition of a saint, someone who falls down and gets up. And so going back to that image that Lisa gave us at the beginning, that arena, that stadium where all the people are in the stands and you're running down the field and they're just yelling and screaming, come on, come on, you can do it. Mm-hmm. You're almost there. It's just a wonderful thought, I think. And some of those saints are people we have known and loved, members of our own family, close friends who are there, just so anxious for us to join them.
Right.
Because they're saying, oh, it's going to be wonderful to have Lisa in heaven with members of her family, who they may be, or my family. They're saying, well, it's so wonderful to have Father Joe up here with us someday. We'll all be together and never separated again. And just, oh, this is great.
Now, I think I've asked you this before. Do you have a favorite saint?
Well, of course, Saint Joseph is my patron saint. Mm-hmm. And I suppose he is the one that I have a great devotion to. Certainly pray to him every day. There are other saints that I've developed. Saint Pope John Paul II, I have a great devotion to him, and I pray to him every day for particular intentions. You know, there are different saints, at different points in my life when I'm going through different things, I'll call upon a particular saint to intercede for me. You know, especially if it's something going on in my life that may be similar to what that saint experienced. Then I'll call upon them. I said, you know, you went through this in your life, you know, help me now with this. But yeah, I guess probably St. Joseph would be my, you know, he's certainly my patron saint, but the one that I have the greatest devotion to.
Nice. Well, I'll tell you my favorite saint that I've read about so far in helping my class choose saints is St. Alphonsus. Do you know his story?
Alphonsus Liguori?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. The door, the saint, I mean, the priest who opened, no, actually he didn't become a priest. He was just the door. He opened the door at the monastery and people came from.
I know who you're, I'm sorry. You're thinking of Salinas Casey?
No.
No?
This is St. Alphonsus, but I don't think it's Alphonsus Liguori. I think he's got Rodriguez maybe.
Well, tell me about your saint, because I'm not familiar with
this one. He went to the monastery, but I don't think he ever actually became a priest, but he opened the door for people, and the way he greeted them, and he would pray for those people who came to the door of the monastery, and people came from all over to have him pray for them, and he became a saint. And that, to me, that is someone who bloomed where they were planted. Just a regular person who opened the door, but he did it with such love and such devotion to God that he became a saint.
He was the porter. They call it the porter who opens the door. Probably was a brother. If he wasn't a priest, he probably was a brother. You know, some of these saints, They did simple things in extraordinary ways.
Yes.
And
that's what St. Teresa says, of Calcutta, do small things with big love. And I think if we just all remember that, the things we can learn from our saints, right?
Yes.
So.
All right.
Well, I think that's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
It's one of the great treasures of our Catholic faith, and I hope more and more Catholics will just kind of meditate on that. This communion of saints, this awesome family of God that I belong to.
And read up on them.
Yes.
Read their stories.
I would encourage the folks out there, if you don't have one, get a Lives of the Saints. There are all kinds of different books that present what we call the Lives of the Saints. And especially if you could get one that has the liturgical year, where it gives the saint for each day,
mm-hmm.
and it talks about their life,
mm-hmm.
what, you know, how they live, what happened to them.
Yes, Laudate is a good place. If you mm-hmm. have the Laudate app, you've got one that says Saint of the Day, and you just go in there every day,
right,
and read up on the saint.
Mm-hmm.
So that's awesome.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you, Monsignor. I think that was a great. We just celebrated.
Yes,
the feasts
All Saints Day and the All Souls Day, mm-hmm. which is certainly part of celebrating the communion of saints.
Yes, so I think that'll clear some things up for
good.
People.
Good. So. All right. Thank you, Lisa. All thank
right.
you, everybody.
Thank you, Monsignor.
Thank you for listening. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, please send them to nbspodcast@nbs.church. Have a blessed day.